suffer from allergies? Has your sneezing and sniffling started yet? Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, April 28th. Last week, we noticed some news stories warning of another bad allergy season. Seems we get one of those warnings every year, but this time it was being blamed on our long, cold, brutal winter and how a quick warm-up could send allergens busting out all over. A pollen vortex to follow our polar vortex. We will ask our guest allergist if this is the case, and we will welcome your questions about and your treatments for allergies of all kinds at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Dr. Todd Marr, a pediatric allergist with Gunderson Health Clinic. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Well, it does seem every time we have you on talking about allergies in the spring that it was based on a report that said this is going to be the worst allergy season ever. Any truth to that this year?
We seem to be consistent year after year, but this year is kind of different. I mean, here it's April 28th, and I'm up in La Crosse, and our trees are just starting to bud out, but they should have been there a long time ago. And so, as we just heard on the news, everything's being blamed on the weather, and definitely we can blame this one on the weather because the trees and all that pollinate based on ground temperature. And we had a really cold winter with, you know, the ground temperature that just is still throughout most of Wisconsin in the 30s to low 40s. And so the trees are just beginning to come out, and then the grass is going to be there. And so that's what they're calling the pollen vortex, of the tree pollen overlapping with the grass pollen. And, you know, it's going to be pretty miserable for people, especially if they don't start treatment and kind of think, well, it's been a great winter. I don't have to worry about my allergies.
Yeah, I know. You think that we should get some benefit from that long, brutal winter, but this is, an unforeseen consequence. My husband was taking an antihistamine last week. He was sniffing and starting to feel the effects already last week.
Yeah, we've had some tree pollen. Most of that's been blown up from the south, whereas in years past, we've had really warm early springs, and the spring starts early because we get a lot of pollens blown from the south. We begin to get a little bit of that pollen already, and so some people are starting to, like your husband, have some eye symptoms and a little bit of runny nose. They're the ones who are a little bit more sensitive than other people. Now we've had all this rain, and the rain washes pollen out of the air, which is great for pollen sufferers, but it just kind of delays things for the inevitable that is going to happen.
So when it starts, it's going to be sunny again and maybe a nicer starting the end of this week. So that's going to be when allergy sufferers might really start feeling the effects.
Yeah, I think those people who know they have spring allergies, and what we talk about here in our area is trees are first. Classically, they pollinate April, May, and have a longer 4 to 6 weeks pollen season. And what's happening now is that's going to be crunched into about 3 weeks or 4 weeks. So it's going to be pretty heavy pollen for a while. And then on top of that will be the grass. So those people need to recognize, hey, I do this every spring. I get sneezing, I get watery eyes, nasal congestion, runny nose, my cough comes on. Well, maybe you should start your treatment now.
And what typically is that treatment for people who know they have seasonal allergies?
Well, hopefully most of them have some prescribed medication, but a lot of it now is over-the-counter. So most people start with an over-the-counter antihistamine, like loratadine, trade name would be Claritin, cetirizine, which is Zyrtec, fexofenadine, which is Allegra. All of those are over the counter now, and most people will start with that and get an antihistamine on board. There is now new this year an intranasal steroid over the counter, Nasacort. So that's the first time we've ever had that available for patients to be able to go to the, you know, counter without a prescription and get a nasal steroid. All the other ones are prescription, the nasal steroids, but this is a trend that's probably going to go forward over the next couple of years. We're going to see more of those nasal steroids go over the counter. So it gives patients a little bit more of tools in their toolbox to use. And then there's the common sense things to not do in the spring when you have allergies.
Like what?
Well, don't open your windows.
Oh,
I mean,
no.
The problem is, we've been stuck inside with our windows closed so tight for so long. Spring comes and we want to freshen up our house, but that just lets, you know, you open your windows and open your doors and it lets all that pollen into your house. People will start airing out. They'll run attic fans and other things that'll suck air through their house. Well, you're sucking all of that stuff that you're allergic to into your home. Same way with your car. When you're going to work, use your air conditioner. Don't leave your car windows down. And don't forget that pets can bring pollen in. So your pets are outside. Your dog's outside running around, and he comes inside, and, you know, he's full of the pollen you're allergic to. What most people do is keep an eye on, their car if it's parked outside. When you start seeing that yellowish little film, you know the pollen counts are high. And that's the stuff that, if you're allergic to it, is going to cause problem. And the other simple thing is take a shower at night before you go to bed. Get that pollen off of you and off your hair.
And put the dog in there, too?
Yeah, if you've got that capability, don't put the dog in bed with you, number one. And if you have to, at least brush it off or, give it a toweling.
So what is it that's that causes these allergies? What's happening?
So what happens in our body is we have some people, we all have the capability to make allergic antibodies, but for some reason, some people make allergic antibodies to pollen. Some people do it after bee sting. Some people do it to antibiotics. Some people do it to a variety of, proteins, foods, etc. But for pollens, it's the protein part of the pollen that the tree or the grass is using to reproduce. So these people aren't allergic to tree bark. They're not allergic to leaves. That's the pollen that comes out as the tree is germinating and getting its seeds ready to go forward. And for us, that gets into our nasal passages. And unfortunately for trees, for most people, their eyes. And our eyes have the most mast cells, and the mast cells are what react to that allergen, and they release histamine and other things. And the histamine causes the itching, the redness, the swelling. That's why we take an antihistamine. And so that's the allergic reaction kind of in a nutshell. And, people will put up with a little sniffy nose. When their eyes get really itchy, boy, they want relief and they want it now. And that's the simple thing to say. You know you're going to have problems. Maybe use some common sense ahead of time and don't put yourself in those situations.
Yeah. So when you're talking about the common treatments like the antihistamine or the nasal sprays, what about the eyes? Is there something special for the eyes or not?
Yeah, good pickup. I mean, antihistamines orally will usually help the eyes a little bit. And actually, most of the studies show that if you're on a nasal steroid and a nasal spray, you'll get some relief for your eyes. But there are nice eye drops now. Some are over-the-counter and some are prescription. And they're antihistamine or mast cell stabilizers or other types of drugs that help kind of keep the eyes from having their reaction. So you can either go on some that are a little preventative or some, again, most of the medicines out there right now are the kind that you take to treat symptoms. Now, what's just come out, but unfortunately not for trees, is actually an immunotherapy that's oral. So we've had allergy shots for over 100 years. They work effectively, but you gotta know what you're allergic to, and you gotta start that ahead of time, and you go through allergy treatment for that. With that, the allergy tablets have come out for grass pollen and for ragweed pollen. So they just came out in this last month, or were basically approved by the FDA. Grass is available now. One of the downsides is you have to take it for about 12 weeks before the season. I don't think we have 12 weeks right now.
Yeah. It's going to probably come a lot sooner than that. We are talking about the allergies that will accompany spring when it's finally here. Well, spring is actually here, but we are learning that because of our long, cold winter and the delay in the trees pollinating, that this year's allergy season, spring allergy season, might be worse than usual because we're going to have an overlap of tree pollens and grass pollens and those pollens that make allergy sufferers suffer. And we're wondering what questions you have. Are you noticing your symptoms already? Any questions for our guest allergist? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking with Dr. Todd Marr, a pediatric allergist with Gunderson Health System. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, coming up on 20 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, April 28th. We are talking about the pollen vortex that we are going to be experiencing this spring, and all the sneezing and sniffling and misery that accompanies the allergy season. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, talking with a guest allergist, Todd Marr, Dr. Todd Marr, a pediatric allergist with Gunderson Health System, about what we can expect and how we can treat our allergies. And while we are talking about the seasonal spring allergies right now, because it's spring, we thought we would also open up the conversation to allergies of all types. Any questions you have about allergies, the diagnosing of allergies, the treatment of allergies, can we ever overcome our allergies? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Dr. Marr, wanted to ask you about, people probably know if they're sniffing and sneezing around this time of year that they probably have an allergy to tree pollen or grass pollen, but how do you know for sure?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's, you know, you may not remember every year that it happens at the same time, but it's, you know, as you'd mentioned, sneezing, it's clear rhinorrhea or discharge from your nose. You're not usually having green, gooey junk coming out of your nose. Your eyes are itchy and puffy, usually after you've been outdoors or been exposed more. You don't generally have body aches and pains. You don't generally have a fever. You don't generally get sick to your stomach or have any GI complaints generally. So those would be things that would set it aside. If you've got a low-grade fever and you got body aches and pains and you're otherwise not feeling good, you probably don't have allergies causing that. Now, you might have some in the background, but that sounds more like a viral illness or something else going on. So those are the things to keep an eye on. It's runny nose, sneezing, congestion is a big problem for a lot of people. They don't like that, their nose being plugged up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it interferes with stuff. I mean, there's been great studies showing that people who have allergies, whether they're white-collar workers or blue-collar workers, don't work as well. Their work productivity goes down. And their coworkers have to actually, you know, make up for them a little bit. And kids don't do as well in school. So, I mean,
it's nothing to sneeze at.
No.
But truly, it's not just a minor complaint for some people. It can be pretty, it can really affect your life.
Oh, yes, definitely. Anywhere from an adult, 20 to 40% of adults will have problems with allergies. And more than a quarter of American homes have somebody with allergies in them. So knowing about it and knowing what you can do to keep those symptoms down and maybe not do things that would make things worse. You know, not many people do laundry and hang it outside anymore, but some people still do. And you're coating that with all the pollen if you're allergic to outdoor pollen. So a simple thing like that, and like we mentioned, washing your hair at night so you're not sleeping with your hair if you have longer hair on your face, would make our simple little things you could do.
Let's take a call from, okay. I don't know why we have a problem with our phones. It's not, we have an issue with our phones for some reason. It doesn't seem to be working. We do have Sue in Sheboygan. I see your question, Sue, but we, for some reason, can't put that on the air. We'll have to work on that. But she wants to know if, first off, can you develop an allergy later in life?
Sue, that's a great question. A lot of people think, well, wait a minute, I didn't have this when I was younger. You'd be surprised how many women I hear from who say, I never had allergies until I was pregnant. Those hormonal changes. Oh. So definitely, yes, you can develop allergies at any point in time in your life. The one thing with aging, as we do age, allergies become less and less. But there we're talking in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. So for most people who are younger, and now that I'm in my 50s, I'm young.
Yeah, that's right.
we definitely, you know, like to think of the fact that, yeah, we can develop allergies, but it's less likely. You know, children generally, there's something called the atopic march or the allergic march that we talk about in pediatrics, where children are born with eczema or atopic dermatitis. They generally will march through the allergic diseases. So they'll get asthma and they'll also have allergies. So if you have a child who, you know, when he was a toddler or infant had eczema, and now he's 5 or 6 and you're starting to see runny nose and sneezing, he probably has some allergies. So it might be worth checking him out.
Yeah, I have not had allergies for the most part throughout my life. I have a little bit of congestion now, but it's not this... the full-fledged symptom. So you may also have, there might be degrees of allergies or not.
Yeah, and depends on what your exposure is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you may have some allergies to something, but your lifestyle keeps you away from that allergen to a great degree. You're in the house, you're in an office building, you're not outside too much, or you don't have a dog
okay.
or a cat, and you might mm-hmm. be mildly allergic. Then there's the people who actually have allergies and then start developing more allergies. So they start with some spring allergies, and then pretty soon they're developing mold allergies. Well, mold around here, we haven't talked about, but spring brings on our mold. And in Wisconsin, we have mold from basically spring and through frost and snow cover on the ground. So again, we have to wait for ground temperatures to get to be about 50 degrees, and then you start to see mold. And the mold on top of the pollen vortex, the term we're using, really will make people kind of miserable.
Now, Sue's other question was, can an allergy go away by itself?
Yeah, it can. I mean, there's definitely, I've seen people who said, you know, it used to bother me and now it's not. Usually in childhood, we see that happen with puberty. Okay. Again, the hormone changes that occur with puberty sometimes do a good job of changing people's allergies. Other people do, something else impacts their life. You have those B cells that are producing basically the IgE, and if for some reason they do get turned off and shut down, then you're not going to make any more IgE, and what you have doesn't last forever, and allergies can improve slowly. It's kind of the concept we use with allergy immunotherapy or allergy shots, is we're giving them low doses and desensitizing somebody to their allergies, so you keep exposing them to it, but starting at a very low level and increase it over time, and that interferes with the production of IgE and helps make some blocking antibodies. And the body can kind of do it on its own, but it doesn't do it regularly on its own.
And finally, Sue did want to ask specifically about swimmer's itch. Is that an allergy?
Swimmer's itch is technically an allergy, but it's you're having a contact allergy to basically a parasite in your skin. So you swim in the ponds, and these ponds have larvae from snails usually, and they get into our skin. And it's a gross topic for breakfast time, but...
it causes you to itch your skin. I know signs up at Devil's Lake saying, watch out for swimmer's itch.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So you are having kind of an allergic reaction. Not everybody gets it, but more people will get that because they'll react to that. So that's a great question.
Yeah, and... I apologize for our phone issues, but we have a call from Ilana in Madison who wants to know if you can develop an immunity to a medicine. Apparently, Zyrtec worked for her at one point and apparently is not working as well anymore.
Oh, Ilana, that's a great question because there's a lot of people who think that, and there's usually two things that happen. One is, people will start taking a medicine like Zyrtec. We'll use cetirizine or antihistamine as an example, and they'll feel much better. And a couple things happen. One is they either put their guard down and don't do their allergen proofing and keep track of all of the allergens in their environment, so their allergen load goes up and overwhelms what the antihistamine could do. That happens very commonly. And then number two is, yes, some people over time will tolerate that antihistamine a little bit better. So it's not that you become immune to it. It doesn't work as well. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes switching the antihistamines around will help. So going from a Zyrtec to an Allegra and maybe adding in the nasal steroid to help you out will be better than just trying to rely on that alone.
Mm-hmm. Are all antihistamines as good as the other?
Well, I mean, that's where you get down into a little bit of issues. Some of them are not as strong, like Claritin loratadine definitely is not a very strong antihistamine. It was developed to be non-sedating and very safe, whereas Zyrtec and some like Benadryl is a classic one. Benadryl is shorter acting, but a fairly potent antihistamine, but will really make you sleepy. So you shouldn't take a couple Benadryl and drive a car technically, because it may make you sleepy. So your trade-off is some of the stronger antihistamines, side effect profile may be a little bit greater. And so people have to look at their lifestyle and what they want to do.
I gave my husband an antihistamine, or I bought it, and I said, here, take this. And he did, and it was not a non-drowsy one. He had to go to work, so my apologies to him for that.
Yeah.
We're going to check news, and then we will be back talking with Dr. Todd Marr. He is a pediatric allergist with Gunderson Health System, and we are talking about allergies. This is the spring allergy season, and it's going to be a doozy because of our long, cold winter. And we're welcoming your questions, not only about the seasonal spring allergies, but other allergies, if you have questions about treating and dealing with allergies. 1-800-642-1234. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking about the pollen eruption, or pollen vortex, as it's being called, and how allergy sufferers can cope. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 6:37 on this Monday, April 28th. So do you suffer from allergies? Has your sneezing and sniffling started yet? Do you have questions about how to diagnose, how to treat, how to cope with allergies? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And I'm very happy to report that we have fixed our phone system problem. It's really something how unplugging something and plugging it back in can help. Our guest is Dr. Todd Marr, a pediatric allergist with Gunderson Health System. So we are looking forward to your phone calls for him about allergies. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. So, Dr. Marr, just to recap, the allergies that we can, or the allergens that we can expect this spring, and the double whammy is the tree pollens and the grass pollens at the same time?
Correct. So, you know, we're a delayed tree season, and grass will usually occur when it does. So those two are going to overlap. And then on top of that, we're going to have the mold. Now, we don't think it this week when we're talking about snow and we got rain.
Yeah.
And so that's going to help a little bit. But the timing is perfect to have this program because next week, most of these sufferers are really going to be into it pretty good. So now's a good time to, you know, think about what you're doing, to maybe go out and purchase your over-the-counter antihistamine, to keep your windows closed, and, you know, think about my allergies for spring, what should I be doing?
Yeah. And now, are there different allergies then for summer and fall?
Well, yeah, in the fall we have ragweed and weeds. So up here in the Midwest, we definitely are seasonal. You get down south and they kind of run together a little bit more. But, you know, our tree pollen season is a 2 to 3 or 2.5 months long, April, May. Grass is May, June, a little into July. July we generally have more molds and then the few weeds start. And then in the fall, August 15th is classically ragweed. Now, ragweed always comes at the same time because it's actually a plant that's photosensitive and it pollinates based on length of nighttime. So that doesn't vary, unlike ground temperature in the spring. So ragweed, we can usually always predict when that's going to occur.
Yeah. So when should we, just treat with antihistamines over the counter or maybe get a prescription instead from someone like you?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question, is what, you know, when do I say, okay, I need more help? Mm-hmm. And it would be if you're taking antihistamines regularly and you're still having symptoms. If you maybe want to say, hey, I want to do something to maybe not have this occur in the future as much, then you're talking about allergy immunotherapy. I guess I would caution, we didn't talk in the last half hour about nasal decongestants. A lot of people will grab the Afrin or Nilsenafrin,
yes,
which is a topical decongestant, and your nose can get addicted to that. All that does is shrink the blood vessels down in your nose, so it works great, but the problem is that chemical you can become used to also won't work as well, and then the congestion will come back a little worse, and you'll have to use more of it. And I see a number of patients who they start with those types of medications, and pretty soon they're addicted. They have to take them 3-4 times a day, and that's actually causing worse problems than their allergies were originally. So be very cautious with the nasal decongestants.
And that those are those things that you can sniff up your nose, or are
right.
they the pills?
Yeah, okay. they're a nasal spray, mm-hmm. but the drug is a decongestant. So Afrin or Nilsenafrin, not to pick on them, but those are kind of the names a lot of people know. A simple thing people can use is saltwater nose spray. That is just like taking a bath. It's really just irrigating out your nasal lining, getting that irritant and the pollen and all that out of your nose. So people can make that up at home or buy little packets and make it, and then basically irrigate their nose out a little bit. It's kind of like what the rain is doing right now. It's washing the pollen out of the air.
That's the neti pot?
Yeah, like a neti pot, exactly. Mm.
Yeah, I can't do it. Sorry, no, but I don't have to. So
some people who can't, right? They can't get around that.
Let's go to Margo in Madison. Let's see if this works. Yes, it does. Hello, Margo.
Yes, hi. I've never had any allergies to anything in my life. I'm almost 70, but every year we go through St. Vincent in the West Indies on our way to the island of Bequi. And Bequi's fine, but St. Vincent, they burn brush on the hill near our hotel. And I had a reaction to it. My husband didn't, which I found strange. And so I thought that must be an allergy, because it isn't just something that would provoke a reaction in anybody. A couple of the people in the hotel had a reaction, but I'm wondering, what is this all about? What are they burning? The government can't seem to stop them doing it, and I became so congested, I said, that must be what allergies are. My head feels like it's going to explode, and I feel like I can't think straight, and I can't breathe properly. Was that an allergy?
Yeah, you did have an allergy. To what? I don't really know. Now, you can definitely, with burning plants, have the protein, have the allergen released in the smoke. So, I mean, there's been lots of case reports up in this area of people who burn brush and will react with poison ivy. So there was poison ivy in the brush that they burned.
Oh, my gosh.
The burning process actually released that the roost, the compound in the poison ivy, and the people who are sensitive to poison ivy would then have problems. Not everybody is. So there's probably some type of plant that they're burning that you react to, and your husband obviously doesn't. Because you're right. Generally, if it was just an irritant, most everybody would have problem with it.
Interesting, Margo. Thank you for calling.
Yeah.
Carlene in Brooklyn is with us now. Hi, Carlene.
Hi there. I'm calling because my husband, who will be 65 this year, has in the last year developed some pretty significant allergies in the fall, which is ironic since he's worked in woodworking for most of his career, and now that he's retired, he's having these plant-borne allergies. What can you tell me about whether they're more severe when they're developed this late on? He's having some pretty tremendous reactions that we had never experienced before.
Yeah, it's, you know, to have them at a little bit later age, usually it's more problematic because, number one, we're not used to it. Number two, have our immune system make that type of response, it generally is pretty significant for him. So it's probably more of a weed that he's reacting to in the fall up here. So what's nice is you've identified it, you know what's going on, and so you can actually get them on some therapy ahead of time. And the biggest thing is not waiting till you're symptomatic. If you know he's going to have this problem in the fall, then he can get on an antihistamine, definitely not a decongestant, because decongestants, like the oral ones, will cause problems with people with blood pressure and glaucoma and prostate issues. And so as you get a little older, you have to be careful with those. But a nasal steroid would probably be a great thing for him to start about 3-4 weeks before that season always helps, you know, kicks in for him. But I don't have any reasons why. Something might have happened to him. He might have gotten a bad viral illness or pneumonia, bronchitis, something like that, that might have triggered his immune system to be a little more reactive. And suddenly now he has this problem.
Thank you, Carly. Nicholas in Antioch, Illinois. Hi, Nicholas.
Hi, how are you, Joyce?
Good. What's your question?
Quick question. My wife has recently been using local honeys as well as some over-the-counter homeopathic pollen meds. She starts taking them usually March time frame, and it's really seemed to help in regards to preventing her eye allergies. I just wanted to get the doctor's thoughts on that.
Yeah, that's a great. It's a really good question, Nick, because a lot of people have used the honey or actually, you know, trying to get bee comb, honeycombs, and actually sucking on those. The problem is when you really look at the studies, they don't work. It's not that the honey itself can be soothing from that standpoint, but what bees pollinate generally are not trees and grasses. They pollinate flowers. Mm-hmm. And we're not usually allergic to the pollens and the flowers. You haven't heard us talk about that too much today. So the theory is, boy, if I take honey that's local, I'll get the pollen in that form because that's what the bees are out there doing. And the studies have shown it really doesn't hold true. We kind of wish it did, but unfortunately it doesn't. But it tastes good.
Thank you, Nicholas. Yeah, I never thought, because we're not necessarily allergic to flowers. We're allergic to the pollens of the other things.
Correct.
Joe in Ironwood is with us. Hi, Joe.
Yes, good morning. A couple of the guys in coffee group experience allergies, and one of them especially has a lot of big silver maples up in his yard. But he'll always blame it on the popple trees. But I was wondering if these red maples and silver maples, which already came out about a week ago, and the popples are just coming out now, is that a contributing factor? I mean, is it a big component of allergies? Is it low-key? Silver maples and red maples.
Right. Actually, maples are pretty significant around here, too, for people to have allergies, too. So, you know, number one, I wouldn't tell him to go cut down his tree. I mean, you bring up something that I know you weren't implying, but there's been people who say, well, if I cut down the trees on my yard or if I get rid of this, you know, grass that's out there, I won't have problems. And this stuff is pretty, you know, the pollen is buoyant. It gets blown hundreds and hundreds of miles. So, but getting back to your question, most of the trees are pretty allergic. Pine is fairly heavy and doesn't stay around very much. But if you have a big pine tree that's, you know, basically putting a lot of pollen in the air right under your window and you keep the window open, you could have some problems. But, you know, as you mentioned, you're seeing the differences in when the trees start to pollinate and bud out, and that's what we're dealing with right now. It's all kind of compressed into a very short time period.
Well, I'm not sure you're going to be able to answer. John from Rhinelander said he heard news recently about allergens being used to stimulate the immune system to treat other illnesses like cancer, and he wants to know if you know anything about this.
Well, definitely the immune system is pretty powerful. I mean, we have it for a reason. We have it, number one, to protect us from foreign substances, but the immune system is really what can go haywire sometimes in some cancers and tumors. So they're looking at using not specific pollen allergies, but they're using other types of allergens to induce an immune system response to have that maybe be targeted more for a specific tumor. And that's about all I want to get into that.
Right. I get it. So as we wrap up, I want you just to give, especially allergy sufferers, their to-do list for this week.
Well, you know, as it's going to be raining and snowing here in most of Wisconsin, but the ground temperatures are increasing. We're going to see the tree pollens and the grass pollens. So now's not the time to open up your windows if you're a spring allergy sufferer, to basically hang bedding outside, to run around with your car windows open. Start your medication. If it's been a while since you've been seen, you might want to be seen by your local primary care provider. if you know you have allergies, want to find out specifically what you're allergic to, that's where an allergist plays a role. Mm-hmm. We can help by finding out specifically, doing skin tests or blood tests to narrow down your allergens and maybe talk to you about allergy immunotherapy or desensitization.
Yeah, and new this year, you say, are some over-the-counter nasal steroid sprays and an oral treatment for the grass pollen?
Right, grass pollen and ragweed. So maybe for fall ragweed, it might be a little bit more helpful. That's prescription only, and that'll be done by an allergist, but that's desensitization orally, so you don't have to have the shots that some people don't want.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Dr. Todd Marr is a pediatric allergist with Gunderson Health System. It's going to be time for our Monday morning wake-up call in just a moment. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.